Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Taharos Perek Gimel Mishnah Hei. So now we're about to embark on Inyanim of Sveikot. We're not directly nogea the questions that we had at the beginning of the Perek, which had to do with the various elements of sizes that were through hydration or dehydration or through pressing, and loss of moisture, and so on and so forth. And now we're going to be getting to all of the different issues that revolve around Sveikot, where we're not 100% sure of what actually happened to determine whether something is tar v'tameh. Now, remember that there are a whole group of Sveikot, which has to do with the lima that we had from a second sota, which we've spoken about many times, and that is that there is Halacha Lomeshim Sinai, essentially, which we mekabel from the Dinim of Sota, that since the Torah keeps using the Lashon of Nitma'a or Lo Nitma'a by Sota, that there's also implications of the Dinim of Sota to Hilchas Tumah V'Taira. That if you have a Suffolk, which is equivalent to the Suffolk of the Sota, namely that she was alone, why is that important? Because it means that there were two people, because three is a crowd. And therefore, if three is a crowd, then the dinim of sota would not apply, and that's not nistra. The same thing in the case of Hilchas Tumah V'Taira. If you have a suffix, such as the suffix you had, whether the sota was nitma'a, so then if it's perushot hayachid, meaning that there's a maximum of two people that are around, so then it's considered to be gzeras hakosov, considered to be tummy. So suffik tummy brushuta yachid is tummy. If it's in Rishuta Rabim, and there's three people or more, now not to be confused with the halachas of mechitzas by Shabbos, which is what defines the nature of Rishuta Hayachid, Rishuta Rabim, and so on. But then the halacha would be that a suffik tummy brushuta Rabim would actually be gzirat hakatur, that it's tahor. We wouldn't even be machmer. That's the pashtus. Again, there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim, how this relates bichlal to the din of suffolk, because, of course, you know, the machlokas about whether a suffolk is actually midiraisa lachumra, or it's only drabbonon that the diraisa is lachumra. But anyway, we won't get into that here. But so there is, therefore, clear cut definitions where you don't have any more information. So there's no more data than what you've got right in front of you. So you have to now determine it on the basis of purely on the dinim of suffolk. You're not able to necessarily apply dinim of rov. You're not able to apply dinim of chazaka. And there you've got this new halacha. Now, one of the implications of this halacha, the fact that it's been learned from sota, is also that the din only applies where there is consciousness that is involved. But if there's no consciousness and things happen on their own, then it's not similar to sota, because in sota, there's somebody to talk to. So you can inquire, okay, what happened? You're going to be able to ask this woman, was she nitma'a, was she not nitma'a? Well, if there's nobody to ask, then the entire thing breaks down. We don't learn any of it from sota, and on the contrary, we compare that to the antithesis of the sota, and if it's, this is called a Zagavi note, that if it's ein bo da'at lishael, if there's no intelligence or consciousness there to be able to ask about, so you can't interrogate anybody, so then the din is also that it's the equivalent of suffik tumah brishut harabim and sveikot tahor, since it's no longer in the klal of the sota. So that means we have to take a lot of different things into consideration. We have to take chazokas into consideration, rov into consideration, consciousness into consideration, and then the special dinim of suffik tumah brishut hayachid, where we have a bedafka that the sveiko is tummy. Then, with that in mind, let us begin Mishnah. So kol hatameot kisha'at metziyatam. So one klal is, I'm going to have sveikos later on. These sveikos, if there's something that can be defined at the moment that you have discovered them. So let's say we're going to be talking later on. Let's say somebody touches a person in the middle of the night. Now, he has no idea whether that person is alive or dead. He wakes up in the morning and he looks over at that person and the person is dead. So then he has no idea whether the guy died before he touched him or after he touched him, or if maybe he's alive now, maybe he was dead at the time that he touched him. But no, somehow the mission never discusses that case. I can't figure out why. There must be a good reason. But in any event, the halacha is that it follows with what it is that you find. So if it's tmeot, tmeot. So if the time that you find him, he's tameh, he's tameh. If it's tahor, now obviously that's not referring to the same case where the person maybe came alive and now we're not worried that maybe he was dead at the time that you taught him and touched him. So what's that referring to? So we got a lot of different cases. One of the cases that we'll discuss later on is the case of finding a sheretz on top of a dead sheretz, obviously on top of a pri, but at the time that you find the sheretz is completely shriveled up. And a shriveled up sheretz that was saruf or completely desiccated is not metame. So the question is, I mean, should I assume that the sheretz was just had died and was fresh when it touched the pri and was metame? Or can I say, since I find it now to be something that's not metame, so then it can be assumed to be not metame melechatchila? Yes, actually, it goes kesha'at mitziyatam. Now, the same thing would be true. Let's say there's a kliferes, and it's in an oil hamez. When you come into the oil hamez, you see that the kliferes was mukaf atzami pasio. And therefore, you can assume that there was no tumah that entered into that kli. Well, how do you know? Maybe it was covered afterwards. No, imechusot, mechusot. If at the time that you find it, it is meguleh, then you have to assume that what's in it is also tameh, because since you found it meguleh, then undoubtedly it was meguleh at the time that the mace was there originally. Or let's say you have a sewing needle, and you know that this sewing needle had been mekabel tuma, and you find that needle on top of peres, and you want to know whether it was metame the peres or not, but now you're looking at this needle and it's completely covered with broken up rust, so that it's not the kind of thing that you could still use by putting something over it. You can't sew with it anymore. So now it loses its tuma because it was a kli that was broken. Or maybe it was literally broken. And maybe it sometimes happens with the needle, the thing that holds the thread, the hole opens up. Fine. So in that case, if it was chaluda or if it was shbura, since at the time that I find it, it's not able to be metame, I do not have to think, well, maybe it got rusty afterwards and it was actually in contact as a perfectly good needle. No, it's actually tahora because kola tmeot kisha'at mitziyatan. So in this case, we basically look at the way it is now as the chazaka for defining what was. Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav. So getting now into the other issue, which is Ein Bo Dat Lishael. Barnea, if I rub this enough, can I get more Barneas out of it, you think?
Then Ribby would be drinking all day. Ribby doesn't know that.
You're right. Listen, we have to properly place your chair in the morning because you're killing it. That's close to proper.
Alone, you mark on the floor exactly.
There you go. There you go.
That's
okay.
How it's done.
There you go.
Right. Now mark the floor and you position it that way all the time. They had that in the Roman mosaics, Rebbe, a little colored right angle so you know the leg of the bed goes here.
Okay. Excellent. All right. And then I think we should have the lasers turning on automatically when you get to that position. That'd be marvelous. It's not that complicated. Come on. This is just
about other things. The
intelligent design, man.
The writing's all perfect. The lasers, I didn't think of that. It's not too late to add it in.
Okay, so now we have a series of Mishnayos, which are nogea the question of Yesh Bo Dat Lishael. So if you have a Cheresh Shotev Katan, and they are considered not to have consciousness that allows interrogation, and they're found in this Mavoi, which is a Rishus HaYachid, and there is something Tomei that's in the Mavoi. Now the question is, were they in contact with it or not? Do I have to dump them in a mikvah and make them tar? Harilu b'cheskat tahara. Why? Because we have no data, and it's a suffix tumah b'rishut hayachid, and it should be tamei. But where ein bo dat lishael, the din is bedafka, the opposite, and that we have the comparison to sota that tells me that she's tahara. So if we have the zodat lishael, then they are in fact b'cheskas tahara. Now, in the case, however, chol hapikeach, anyone who does have intelligence and can be interrogated, and the only question is, did he come in contact with this tumor? He hadn't noticed. He walked by, maybe he touched it, maybe he didn't. He's becheskas tumor. And this is because, now there's a question over here whether the next words mean, and after all, kol she'ein bo dat lishael sfeiko tahor, which is then just going back and defining the ratio, so that I'm now essentially saying shekol, anything that ein bo dat lishael sfeiko tahor, or whether is it actually coming to be marbe something. The Rishonim take it as the idea is not to be marbe, and it's just, and after all, v'chol ashro. The Mefarshei HaMishnah, the Achronim, always try to find, you know, some kind of new reference over here. So they would say it's coming to be Marabem, it's coming to be Marabem. Things that in Bodas Lishael, let's say Kalim or Behema, okay, I mean, that's taken for granted in describing the Vichol anyway, according to the other Rishonim. So I don't know what it adds particularly. Perek, Gimel, Mishnah, Sayin, Tinok, now, we have a kid who is near a Beit HaKvarot. Now, a Beit HaKvarot, even at the time of the Mishnah, was a place that people would decorate with flowers. So, you had these roses growing in the Beit HaKvarot. The child is standing outside of the Beit HaKvarot, and he's holding a bunch of roses. Now, where could he have gotten these roses? They're only growing in the Beit HaKvarot, and therefore, he must have gone into the Beit HaKvarot, so we have proof that he's Tamei. Because, Ein Asher Shanim Ela B'Mokom HaTuma, the only place to get roses was in the Holy Garden Cemetery. So, what happens over there? He's still Tahar. Why? Because you don't know that he went in and picked the roses. Maybe somebody came along and picked roses and handed him the roses. And therefore, we should say that it's basically a suffix tuma, and therefore he would be tahor. So, fine. Why should we not think? There's the interesting question that the Achronim talk about. Why should we not think that if the person handed him the roses, then that person would have been metamei him, because that person has bodas lishael, and therefore we have to assume that that person is tamei, and then that means we know that at the very least, either he walked into the Beit HaKvarot, or he was touched by someone who had walked into the Beit HaKvarot, who would have been tamei because of suffik tumah b'rishut hayachid is tamei if yesh bodas lishael. Acute question. The simplest solution is that who the heck went into the Beit HaKvarot to collect flowers to give to a kid? Another kid! So that means we would have decided that the other kid we weren't sure of. So then it's just an infinite regress. So where would we ever be coming to say he definitely must have been touched by somebody who had bodas lishael? Therefore, we have the same question ad infinitum. And because of that, we would say somebody else was liktan and not tandem. And note when it says Acher, it's not an Adam Acher, it's another kid. So fine, another kid was locked up. Very Meduyik in the Lashon as well. The same thing would be true if an animal was walking through the Beit HaKvarot and he came and asked you whether he needs to go to the mikveh. No, animals don't need to go to the mikveh because an animal cannot be makabel tuma. But he would be carrying various things on him, which we just read in the Mishnah. And those things can be makabel tuma. Would we need to put the diski into a mikveh? Would we need to put the kmini into the mikveh? And so on and so forth. So that would be kelav tahorim, all the kelim on that animal, since neither the chamor nor the kelim would be considered to be dat lishael, and that's even the chamor that may be a siach, you know, and it's sayach, it's a siach noah, but he still can't talk to you intelligently. He may be able to follow orders. And therefore, it's considered to be a situation of Inbo Dat Lishael, even for its Kelim. I think we should leave the next famous Mishnah that we've spoken about many times, actually, for tomorrow, since it's already over our time. Okay, Rabosai, it's been wonderful being with you. Quite a schuss. Looking forward to Halavai, Siyata Rishmaya, to continue to have that schuss and to be able to be learning together in Matzavim that are full of Mazel, Bracha, Tikva, Geula, Shlemus, and all of the wonderful things that we await very soon. Lotov.
Is there a moment for a question? Even without an answer, maybe we could discuss it in the future?
I thought I saw a raised finger before, but you didn't turn it into a handy.
Yeah, so I wanted to know a little bit more about this relationship between Sota and the element of Tuma system with Sota and expanding it into so many important dinim of Tuma Vitara. It seems like a sort of just the element of Tuma in Sota, it seems sort of aside, even though it's expressed that way. That's not really the point of Sota. And yet we learn such a.
Yeah, but we don't really learn from it. We have a Kabbalah that's what the Torah has been Miramis to. We'd never figure it out on our own. It's one of those things that's essentially a remez in the Torah to halacha that we were makabel. So it's not that we can actually. I mean, look, the Rishonim talk about it even in terms of how good of a remez is it, because there seem to be so many different issues. Like Tosis discusses Anita. You know, I mean, we have the Raglayim Ledover. Where do we have a Raglayim Ledover over here? I mean, many things that are not, they don't really add up, but it's a major sugya. I don't think it's for us over here, because just because we happen to mention Dovr Yesh Bodat Lishael on the side. Bezrat Hashem, we're soon getting to Sota, right? I mean, we're soon getting to Nida, which also will raise a lot of these same issues. So Bezrat Hashem, it's coming any minute.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Kol tov. So hard to say goodbye.